nation. Anything else is temporary. But righteousness will elevate a nation. Oh, you start living by the creeds of God. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 18, verses 7 through 11. And that's where we'll kind of pitch our tent. I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready for the scripture. I'm ready for the move of God. We felt it in the choir. Verse number 7, this is the conversation at the potter's house. God had sent Jeremiah there to observe, to learn some lessons. And God is speaking. At what instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. Now, he's spoken, it's going to happen, but look at the next verse. If that nation, if America, against whom I have pronounced, turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. In other words, as dark as it is, there's still hope. Isn't that great? Verse number 9, and at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my eye, in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return you now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. That's strong, isn't it? That pertains to, in my observation, that pertains to us today in America. Father, we pray today that you'll help me speak the things that you would desire to be spoken. We pray that you would help us today to communicate effectively, not for our benefit, not for our stature, but for the glory of God. Have your way. If there be one here in this room today who is not prepared to meet you, who is not ready to meet you, who has not met the qualifications to meet you, we pray that they would meet you in this altar today before they leave this auditorium. Let this become a saving station, Lord God, where souls can find refuge. Let it be a harbor, Lord God, from the storms of life, that people can find their way here and realize that they're in a safety zone. We'll give you the praise for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can the church say amen one more time? Hallelujah. This statement, make America great again, you've heard it, you know, on and on and on, and I'm certainly not going to politicalize it, but it insinuates that there was a time that America was great prior. And that's a solid deduction. If that word again is attached to it, it's saying that there was a time it was different than it is now. Amen? Am I talking to you? Now, my question to you is, can America be made great again? Amen? Say it from your heart if you believe. Can America be made great again? Amen? The answer is absolutely yes, it can be. But it will be beyond Donald Trump. It will be beyond the political parties in Washington, D.C. If this nation ever turns away from sin unto God, God will elevate it. God will raise it up. God, let me just hasten to say that God raised this nation up for one purpose, and that is to be the shield and the buckler and the guard unto the nation of Israel. God raised us. God saw Israel coming into the 20th century and into the 21st century, hated by all nations. Listen, have you been keeping up with the news? They passing resolutions in the UN all the nations are clamoring against Israel, but America has raised it. They refused the veto, but God said, don't worry about it. I know what's going on in the politics, and when it comes time, I will turn things around and I will have a protector. Our job as a nation is to be a covering for the nation of Israel, and God blesses that nation that will do that. Amen. The only reason that we've survived to the point we have is because of the care that we have shown Israel through the last couple of hundred years. That's the only reason we've not been surviving, because we're religious, not been surviving because we're righteous. It's because God said, I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. Amen. We're on the blessing end. But let me tell you something. There is a limitation to the cursing, to the blessing. There's a limitation. There's a point when God says, I cannot ignore it. I can't wink at it anymore. I must deal with ungodliness and unrighteousness. Can somebody say amen? But we saw in between 1 and 3 this morning, I was just wrestling with this. We saw you may not understand it, you may not agree with it, but this weekend that we're in right now, we have seen a spiritual war break forth. Amen? Please ride this boat with me. Friday, we had an inauguration of a new president, and people marched by the throngs and they did this. And then Saturday, they come back with the ladies. The females had their say-so and swamped Washington, D.C., and carried placards, my body is my own, I'll do with it as I please. And I say, you are wrong, ma'am, you are wrong. Your body is not your own. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And am I talking to you? And your body was created with the ability to conceive. Your body was created with the ability to carry forth life. And if you, by your stupidity, reach into your womb and tear out life that's in there, you're going to give an account to God. Amen. You can carry your placards. You can carry your signs. You can protest. You can ride to Washington, D.C. and walk the streets of the city. But it's not going to change the mind of God. God is against murder. God is always against murder. He will always be against murder. You can't soft soap it. You can't change it. You can't quiet it down. Hallelujah to God. Let me tell you something. We need, y'all hear me. I mean, men have come up with volumes of books trying to tell us how to live. They've come up with all kinds of, you can't even carry the material telling you how to live. And God condensed it down to 10 simple statements. God said, if you'll listen to these, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Thou shalt set no other God before thee. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt. And those 10 rules, those 10, not suggestions, but 10 commandments on the school walls, on the living room of your house, wherever you went, you run into those 10 laws. You could learn them, memorize them, quote them. But let me tell you something. They hold the victory of a nation. Am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah. And what we need to do, we need to understand that the war has erupted because of those 10 rules, not because of whites or blacks or browns or them. Those 10 rules fly into the face of ungodly people. They rear up and they say, I'll not have those rules rule over me. And I say, you may not have them rule over you now, but they will rule over you one day. Am I talking to anybody? They will rule over you one day. Hallelujah to God. We saw a war break out. I literally believe their spiritual war started Friday, not because of the Republicans and all that, but there's war in the heavens. Do you remember Daniel chapter 9? War broke out. They couldn't see the war. They saw the results of it. And Daniel got an answer from an angel and said, man, we heard you the first day you prayed. We heard you soliciting an answer, and we started on our journey, but we were impeded. We were slowed down. Something is going on, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. We watched it as Jane Fonda and Madonna, as if they were somebody so virtuous and so good, standing up telling the people, the ladies in America, you don't have to take this mess anymore. You don't have to put a... No, they don't have to. They can do what they want to. But let me tell you something. She won't be getting none of my money for her records. Amen. She won't get me hitting on YouTube. Just why? No, come on, church. Amen. They live in a bubble. They live in a cocoon. They live as the whole population of America should be adoring them. I don't adore them because they're God haters. I don't adore them because they're God defilers. They defile what God has sanctified. Amen. God has sanctified marriage, and they play with it like it's a toy. Come on, church, am I talking to anybody? God sanctioned holiness, and they look at it like we're weird. I am weird. I am strange. Don't fool yourself. We are strange to this world. We're strangers and pilgrims, but we're not stationed here forever. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. I'm on my way to a city called heaven. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. Hallelujah to God. Undescribable, unfathomable. But we're going to, we call it heaven, but somebody said sometime we're going to call it home one day. Hallelujah. Enter in thy good and faithful servant. You put up with the junk on earth. You withstood the temptations. You withstood the trials. You pushed back the powers of darkness. I'm going to bless you. Enter into the joys of the Lord prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Oh, my God. Somebody say amen. I declare that there's war in heaven, and I don't want you to lose sight of that. I believe that we started a spiritual war this past weekend. When Washington, D.C. was invaded with the politicians and they invaded, and I'm going to tell you right now, this is about as political as I'm going to get. The reason why that the politicians are hating Donald Trump so bad is because he's not a politician. They don't like it because he's not one of the club. He's not one of them. The people voted. A change had to come because 8 years of limitation. But the people stood up. The people said, we don't want no more of that crowd up there. We don't care anything about their. We've seen what they can do. They can put us in debt until we never get out. Oh, y'all don't hear me. So the population of the United States of America said, we'd rather have somebody that don't know one thing about it than to have somebody that's in the wave of it. I know I'm preaching the truth to you. Amen. The church has been silent, but the church is finding her voice. You hear what I'm saying? I have heard it preached, and maybe I may have ignorantly preached it myself, but you know, the idea that we're going to be just struggling along like a somebody in the ocean and they're going down the third time, that we're going to be like that when Jesus comes, that is foolish. That is saying that he's not able to keep his church. He's not able to sustain his church. Let me tell you something right now. He said, not me, but he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. I'm as safe as I can be. I'm as safe as God is. Amen. No powers, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. You are going to overcome. You're not trying to overcome. You are an overcomer. You're not trying to survive. You will survive. You're not trying to go down the curtain. You're going to defeat the devil. Every tribulation, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Just laugh at your problems. Just mock the devil. That's torment to him. He wants to see you cower down. But just say, go ahead and put on your best gloves, devil, because when you're over, I'm still going to be standing and you're going to be under my feet. Shatalabakaya. Hallelujah to God. Am I talking to anybody? Glory to God. Hallelujah. There were more prayers in that inauguration Saturday than it's been in any inauguration in recent history. That's they said it. That wasn't by accident. And every prayer that was prayed except the rabbi's prayer, that was you understand that. But every prayer that was prayed ended up in the name of Jesus. I said, say it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Give Jesus praise from the Capitol steps. Give Jesus praise from the White House. Give Jesus praise from the poorhouse. Amen. I said they're going to finish. They had a charismatic lady praying. They had an Anglican person praying. They had a little mixture of it all, but they were praying. They were praying. They were reading scripture. Franklin Graham, you know, he blessed my heart. Hallelujah. I'm pumped up this morning. Glory to God. Not because I see this thing coming to an end. I see the lights of home. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to get out of here. And I just want to be able to encourage you and say, this is not a time for slacking up. This is not a time for slowing back. This is a time for press on. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. My God, this morning. I shall not be moved. I shall, like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Glory, hallelujah. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. If I knew the rest of it, I'd sing that. Can somebody say amen? Now, the answer to making America great again is involved in three things. Are y'all with me? To make America great again is going to have an impact from the home, an impact from the church, and an impact from the government. Am I talking to you? The home has been fragmented. I'm not trying to belittle things, but the home has been under a vicious attack from the devil to destroy, to deteriorate. There is no government in our homes. Our children are governing the parents. Our children are telling the parents where to go and when, how long to do and how much money to give them and all that. That's wrong. Mama and daddy is the governors of that house. And once you ever give your authority up, you will never get it back. Don't suggest to those children. See, God is not in the suggesting business. God is in the authoritative business. He don't suggest the devil to get out of here. He said, refuse him, rebuke him, resist him, and he shall flee from you. We've got children telling parents what to do. We got parents that are scared to death of their children. They're scared they're scared to go to bed at night because they come in doped up or whatever. Oh, y'all don't. See, in the past, the home was the cornerstone. The home was the school of discipline. The hardest word that a child learns, the hardest word that a human learns is N-O. No. Oh, come on, honey. You know you just went there last week. You know. No. Hello? But, Mama, if you just give me $35, that's all it takes. I gave you $35 last week. No, you're not going to get it. Go to your room. See, they respect that. Children respect authority. Amen? On the other side of that, they do not respect non-authority. They mock at it. They laugh at it. I see these kids, they're fanning. Gotcha, guys. Hallelujah. See, there was some form of discipline, and it was God-structured, and it was exerted. No was not a bad word. No was a word of authority. You were teaching a child that they can't, because when they learn no when they're 12 years old, when they're 40 years old, they still understand no. They look at the credit card balance and they say, no, I can't buy that boat or whatever it is. I'm preaching decent to you now. When little Sally, listen now, when little Sally got on the school bus, she had enough clothes on to cover her body. I am in shock. I'm not being cute. I'm in shock at the way parents let their children go to school. And the children are wanting to try to get by going to church that way. Am I talking to you? Go to church scandalous. I'm not an ancient figure. I'm not as old as Moses. But I'll tell you one thing. I grew up in a time when you went to church, you dressed. One pastor said, he told me this. He said, I don't walk down the aisle. I don't shake hands before church because it's embarrassing. Hello? I need to ring this bell. Because I can't help the world. It's trends. It's part of the world. It's part of their package. But it's wrong. It's wrong. Can I get somebody to say amen? It's wrong. And the church should never be intimidated. Well, we might lose somebody. If they're like that, you didn't get them. Amen? If you got to cater to somebody and pat them on the back and, you tell your men in the church, well, we got to handle this one carefully. We'll lose the whole family. Lose them. Lose them. If they're not going to line up with the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about the church. If they're not going to line up with the Bible, the Bible bears out that we are to be holy even as he is holy. When you walk down the street naked, well, so to speak, you can say what you want to. You're creating disturbances. and you get thrills out of it, and that's a double barrel wrong. Amen. I'm talking about making America great. Let's start with the home. Let's make the home great again. Let's make the home a place of safety where we can come in and shut the door and have our fellowship with our family and get on our knees and pray and read the scripture, have devotion. Let our home become a spiritual place. The home has been reduced to a place you hang your hat at, put your coat on, and go out and you just in and out, traffic, in and out. Well, where's Junior at? Where's whatever? Am I talking to anybody? When Mama went to grocery shopping, she dressed like a lady. She's not a tramp. I see them in the grocery store wearing pajamas. Am I right? I should get a video and just walk around saying, I'm getting sermon material for next Sunday. You don't have to degrade yourself by acting up, by trying to protest. I mean, it's some weird looking people. But they wore clothes. If you want to get America great, get the home great. Start working upon you. Don't try to worry about Washington, D.C. when Washington, North Carolina's in a mess. Amen. Don't try to change the politicians up the road if you're not willing to change the politicians on your school board or your county commissioners or whoever they are. Let's dig in where we're at. This nation can become great again, and it will become great again, not because of the politician, but the church is the key to it. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? Dope. In the early years when America was great, dope was not the plague that it is now. There's more people. I read the statistics last week in the daily newspaper talking about people in Beaufort County that had died of overdose and probably all kinds of plague and things. Dope is a killer. And you cannot isolate your child away from the people that use dope. You can't do it because they're human beings. They're going to intermingle. They're going to go here to yonder. But you need to insulate them. Teach them that you don't mess with that stuff. Show them pictures of people whose lives have been wrecked and destroyed. People in this building right here who's got children, grandchildren, whose lives have been messed up, ruined because of dope, because of something you put in your body that is contaminable. Amen. Am I preaching to anybody? How many people on dope? Let me just ask a silly question. How many people on dope are glad they're on dope? I don't. If you find somebody glad they're on dope, you that's a mystery. I tell you what they are. They're sorry. Because none of us like to be captured and captivated. And that's what dope does. It makes you, oh, hallelujah. I'm a soft-hearted person, believe it or not. And I got a phone call at 2:30, 4 or 5 years ago, and I fell for it, hook, line. I got so mad with myself. I didn't get mad with the dope addict. I got mad with me because he snookered me. I'm on the interstate out of Florida, named some town in Florida, and I've been going to your church occasionally. I said, well, where did you sit? Stuttered. And my motor's blown up, and I've got that. If you're just American Express, I'm telling you, I'm naive. I trust people. And everything in me said, you're an idiot. If I could just get I'm going to say $250. If you wire, we call Western Union or what do you call those places, and they said, you better not do it. I said, it's too late. I've already done it. I mean, look. So wanting dope so bad that you call and lie to people, steal money from your house, steal money from your parents. Nothing. There's nothing good you can say about dope. It makes people do dopey things. You can tell by all. You can say all this is silly if you want to, but dope has not become a national plague back in that day, but it has now. It's a horror right now. The music in those days was crazy, but it wasn't. I mean, it was more or less Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra, and some of you people have no idea who I'm talking about. But it wasn't boom, 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 boom. Hallelujah. Say, my preacher done rap this morning. It gives all, you know, it's given the capability and the reproductive that people do ignore everybody. So if you want to have America great again, let the starting place is at the home. Let your children, your companion, let people around you know that you are a spiritual minded person. And the best way, and I'm gonna lose some attention right now. The best way to start at home and to show the people the priorities is that when it's church time, get in church. Amen? Get in church. You don't have to go around holding the sign up. I go to church on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I go. No, you just say, it's time by your backing out of that driveway. Well, I know where they're going. Where are they going? They're going to church because they go every whatever, you know. People used to ask me, don't you ever get tired of church? I said, why? Do you ever get tired of banana pudding? You know? No, I don't get tired of church. This thing didn't start with me when I started preaching. This thing started with me when I got saved. I didn't have an outlet. I was not a golfer. If you're a golfer, I'm not, that's your business. I wasn't a fisherman. I don't get thrilled with a 20-pounder. You know, I probably would. If I ever went one time, I'd probably get hooked. But I've been spared. I've been, you know. So I wasn't a fisherman, I wasn't a mechanic, I didn't race cars, I didn't do anything. I just lived, worked, and went to church. I didn't enjoy the working too much. I enjoyed the living, but I went to church because I enjoyed church. I never, are y'all ready? I never heard a bad singer in church. I've heard some bad ones on the radio. But I ain't never heard a bad singer. I've heard some that needed help. But I've never heard a bad one. You know why I've never heard a bad one? Because I'm not looking to hear a bad one. I got two hands that can clap. I got a foot that can pat. I got an ear that can hear, and I got a heart that's tender. And I say, go ahead and sing your song, buddy. Glory to God. You croak like a frog. That's all right. There's more than I can do. Amen. I love to go to church. Don't find fault with me if I want to go to church. Don't bother me. Don't say I've gone over the line. I'm too religious. No, I'm not. Because I heard in my spirit, I heard reading one day from Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see that day approaching. When this thing comes down to the end of the journey, get in church. I tell you, I'd rather be on the church pew or in the pulpit in the choir when that trumpet sounds than to be home watching Channel 10. Oh, am I? Hello? Where was I at? Make America great again. The crowds in Washington, D.C. yesterday would tell you that they're church people. By and large, but I will think in my heart, why fool yourself? Because if you were church people, you wouldn't be marching for these principles that you're marching for. You wouldn't be trying to force things down the decent people's throat. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that Bill and Tom cannot produce a child. And marriage is not for fornication. Marriage is not for sexual pleasure and activity only. It is for reproduction. I did read where it said, be fruitful and multiply. And while we've been using, you want me to say this? While America has been figuring out better ways to have birth control, the Arab nations have been figuring out better ways to keep their whatever they are, harems. Or is that embarrassing to y'all? And that what I'm trying to say is they're going to be outvoting all Americans. They're going to be getting there. They're already doing it in Europe. I better move on. See, this is the hour of the devil's war, and we need to be at home. We need to be careful with it. This is the hour, and God is not napping. He's not caught off guard, because there's a, so the home and the church. The church is an instruction channel. You come to church to learn. You should. You come to church to listen. You should. You come to church to be inspired. We hope you are. But the church is the place where you get your home in order, then you start. See, strong homes produce strong churches. Am I right? Strong homes produce strong churches. Your church is going to be a picture of your home. Amen? And we need to understand that. We need to get a hold of that in our mind. So this is the hour of the devil's warfare. And the church is built up by the home. And the church is an instruction institution. I mentioned Wednesday night, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Philip Jethro said, "My sheep know my voice." I'm losing some of y'all. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. There's an army emerging, and that's why I just can't press the issue enough that we are in the warfare started this weekend. You don't see it with your naked eye. You don't sense it with your spirit right now, maybe, but we are in the last leg of the last trip on this earth. We are getting ready to leave. And the enemy is doing everything he can, and I'm not going to major him. I'm not going to glorify him. But he's doing everything he can to get us distracted, diverted, discouraged, and cast down. But let me tell you something right now. The racer, the runner in Hebrews chapter 12, lay aside every weight. We're coming to the home stretch. Unbuckle the shackles. Get rid of the weights. Throw yourself in the race, because we are in the last leg of the journey. Can I get a witness out there from anybody? We're glory, glory to God. Finally, the third thing, the church, the home has got to be strong, the church has got to be strong, and the government's got to be strong. Amen? You know, the government is, if you've got a good government, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, you're going to have a good, it's going to be governed by people who were sensitive. I grew up under people like Jesse Helms. You didn't have to worry about what he stood for. I grew up under people like Ronald Reagan. You didn't have to, you didn't have to wonder about what side of the fence they stood for. Truth. Looking back, all of them could have done maybe better on issues and all, but still. Somebody say amen. America great again, yes, because the instruction is before us. Remember, America equates to people. But before you see America great, there's got to be a personal application. And can I regain all that I've lost? Before the church becomes great again, they've got to become great. They've got to become great in this home. Before a nation can become great, the home has got to become great. Before the home becomes great, the church has got to become great. We're people destined for greatness. Amen. Before greatness returns, there must be a point of decision that I will do something. This morning, as I close now, this morning, there needs to be a point of decision in people's mind. I am going to go with the crowd that's going to heaven. I'm going to go with the crowd that's going to heaven. Hallelujah. There needs to be, you do not need to procrastinate. This thing is winding up. Jesus is coming. I feel it in every fiber of my being. I want to do everything I can to encourage people, to excite people, to appeal to people. But you need to make a decision. You need to make it today. You need to make a decision. Who is on the Lord's side is what Joshua cried out. How long will you halt between two opinions is what Elijah said. Moses said, come over, they that are on the Lord's side, come over here. I don't know about you, but if I cross a line, I want to cross it to be on the Lord's side. I want to throw my body, my energy, my hope, my heart. I scribbled these notes this morning early, Because I felt, yes, we can be great again. Nothing to do with Donald Trump. Because they consider great again policies and economics and military and all that. I consider great again a nation that loves God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Hallelujah to God. Would you stand with me? The musicians are going to come. The greatest thing that I could think of that would be profitable would be to see people hit the altar and say, I'm choosing, I'm casting my lot with God.